This week, I saw a video. I'm not going to show you the video, but I will show you a picture in a minute. This week, I watched a video of a family that went on a boating trip in Puget Sound. And in the video, the family is out on the sound having a lovely day, and a group of three whales comes to check them out, as whales are wont to do. And the whales are swimming by the boat and under the boat, and the father in the group is trying to help his family experience the awe of this moment and these beautiful big creatures. And the photographer in the family who made the video is trying to catch the whales on film. And the rest of the family, sadly, is completely frightened. They're afraid that the whale is going to overturn the boat. They want to get out of there. The whale's under the boat, and they want Dad to start the engine. And he's like, I'm not starting the engine while the whale is under the boat. And at one point, one of them even calls 911 to tell the police she's afraid the boat is going to be overturned by these whales. Now, this video was posted, as you might imagine is common on social media, with lots of political commentary and connections of the video to the politics of the day. I'm uninterested in that. What I am interested in was that as I watched this video, I really had the sense that these people have not in their life been introduced to mystery. That if they attend a house of worship, it's not one that is interested in mystery. Because in mystery, we encounter that which is greater than us, that which is bigger than us, certainly that which we cannot always understand. And that sometimes that produces a little bit of anxiety. And so what I felt sad about for this family was that they couldn't experience the awe of the moment of these whales swimming around them in all of their majestic beauty, as well as their anxiety. There's nothing wrong with being afraid that the whales might turn the boat over. They're huge. They don't usually turn boats over. But it's understandable to feel anxious about that. But when the anxiety keeps you from feeling the awe, that's a real sadness to me. That's a real loss to me. And it really struck me that part of the spiritual life is that ability to hold awe and a little bit of anxiety together. And I remembered that last week Jesus talked about accepting the kingdom of heaven like a little child, and it made me think of this picture. And don't worry, the sanctuary party has their own copies of the picture, so they don't have to get up and move around. All I have to do is work the technology correctly. Which it turns out is not as easy as it ought to be. There. Okay. There we go. This is my great niece Shelby. She's now a teenager and would probably kill me if she knew I was making her the subject of a sermon. But this was when she was a little girl and her family had gone on a trip somewhere, probably St. Martin's, since that's somewhere they go a lot, and she has a St. Martin's t-shirt on. And they went to an ocean park of SeaWorld kind of place, and Shelby had this picture taken. Now, Shelby doesn't generally do things she doesn't want to do, so my sense is that she really wanted to have this picture taken. But she's also given that seal a little bit of side-eye. Right? So she's excited to be there and a little nervous. Children have to do that a lot. Children are aware, painfully aware, that the world is so much bigger than them. So children often have to negotiate balancing their interest and curiosity with their anxiety. I've talked to you before about how much I enjoy watching little kids, very little kids, run from mom or dad a certain distance and then stop and look back and make sure they're still there before they turn around and run a little further. And then reaching that point where the anxiety overcomes the curiosity and then they run back. Right? What I want to suggest to you is that this dynamic may be part of what Jesus was talking about last week when he said, receive the kingdom as a child. That the reality is that none of us ever gets away from that sense of the greatness of God, the degree to which God outsizes us and outpowers us and is never able to be completely understood by us, and that what is possible is to have a little anxiety about that and to be completely in awe and completely in love with God. That's the challenge of our spirituality. That's the challenge of faith. That ability to hold a little bit of anxiety and a whole lot of awe together. And to not let the anxiety keep you from feeling the awe. In the reading that we heard today from Amos, it's an interesting reading. First of all of chapter 5, God says, I'm getting rid of it. It's all going away. Y'all messed up royally, and I'm taking it all away. And seek me and seek to do good and seek to do better. And my sense is, I'm going to come and destroy all your stuff is not exactly the best motivational approach. And it has left scholars looking at chapter 5 of Amos and going, what in the world is going on here? What we realize is that God is saying through Amos, everything that made you feel normative and secure is going away. The northern kingdom that Amos preached to worshipped at Bethel and at Gilgal. And in one of the verses in chapter 5 that we don't hear in the text, in the Hebrew, really intriguing alliteration that makes it sound almost like a heartbeat. This boom, 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 boom. God says, I'm taking Bethel away and I'm completely destroying Gilgal. And all of those, you know, it doesn't really matter that I cheat people all week long because I go to Bethel and make my offering and praise God every Sabbath, or I go to Gilgal and worship. And so it doesn't matter what I do the rest of the week. And God says, I'm taking all that stuff that makes you feel secure away, and I'm challenging you in the face of that to trust me. All you can depend on is me. How you want to act if the truth is all you can depend on is me? It's a challenging, challenging text. And it's a text that calls for radical trust. And radical trust is a big risk. And you betcha we human beings feel anxious when we take those big risks. That whale could overturn our boat. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The same thing is true in the gospel that we heard today. In the gospel that we heard today, the young man comes to Jesus and he's been working on his spiritual life. God love him. He's been working it. He has studied the law. He has studied the prophets. He studied the scriptures. He's doing the things he's supposed to do, and he comes to Jesus, and he really wants Jesus to mirror him, to see his hard work, to praise him for it, and encourage him to go a bit further. And the text says that that's what happens. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I'm sure that Jesus did. Loved him for his dedication, loved him for his hard work. And Jesus knew that the next step was going to be the scary one. And he tells him, you've done it, you've done well, you've done really great. You have one thing left to do, and it's a doozy. Give it all away. Give away all your stuff. Which is an invitation to radical trust in God. And that's scary. That's way too scary for the young man at this point. Maybe later he got it. But it's that anxiety that goes with radical trust. And we know that that's the meaning of the story because Jesus tells us that. Then in the very next part, the disciples say, well, wait, explain this to us. And he says, well, you know, riches, things that make you feel secure, they get in the way. Makes it harder. And the disciples say, who can be saved? And that's where Jesus makes his crucial point. For humans, it's impossible. For God, all things are possible. And that's the message, right? That's the message that little kids enact for us sometimes. It's impossible for us to make ourselves safe. There's a lot of stuff in the world today about people wanting to feel safe. And I get that. I want to feel safe too. But you know what? In terms of the cosmos and the universe and our standing before God, we can't do anything to make ourselves saved. We can't do anything to make ourselves safe other than trust in God. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. To be so fascinated and in awe of God, who is so great and can do all things, and who clearly loves us so much. We feel awe and depend on that. Even though that dependency and that trust makes us anxious. The challenge of our faith is to risk it all. The challenge of our faith is to feel the anxiety of risking it all and still feeling awe and love for God. That's what the family in the boat couldn't do. That's what, for a moment, my great niece was able to do. What we're all able to do from time to time, sometimes for just a moment. But those moments are important because they are moments of deep spirituality when we're able to hold both the anxiety and the awe.